Can I confide in you? Can I tell you something in confidence that you might hopefully concur with me on? And that's that Hawaiian shirts are not colorful. Hawaiian shirts are not clever. Hawaiian shirts are not wacky. They don't boost your personality points up any. You're not making any kind of fashion statement other than a bad one. So just put the Hawaiian shirt down, okay? Put it down. So I guess let me paint a scene for you here, okay? So the Monday or the first day after a holiday, for example, say, getting in line and waiting at the bank, particularly my bank at Golden One, you'd be better off probably trying to get tickets to like Taylor Swift right now. That line is not moving. It's out the door. They got one teller in the back because there's the only other one is in training, and they're back and forth. They disappear. They help somebody, and then they disappear. And then the person next to them is working two teller windows, because there's like that guy, that ubiquitous octogenarian, you know, and it's not a slight against old people or slow people, but this guy, he's old and slow, and he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt, you know, and he thinks, I don't know, like, you know, Hawaiian shirts aren't really colorful or as colorful and charming as you think. Matter of fact, I think most people who wear Hawaiian shirts should throw them away. But this guy's, he's also got a walker, and he's sitting in the chair, in that chair teller window, you know, that it's not for, well, I don't know what it's for exactly, but it's usually people that have a longer ride, right? Like, because you're in like a Pirates of the Caribbean line here, and this guy is, he's trying to do like a corporate takeover, because there's a discrepancy of like 38 cents between his rollover IRA and his savings account or something, you know, and he's grossly unhealthy. But the poor girl behind the window is trying to sort out like whatever this guy's really his main objective, whatever he's trying to pull off, right? In this complicated and tricky financial endeavor, right? And then the people that populate the line out the door are usually like the nerdy couple that, you know, one guy is probably, or one person, one part of the couple is slightly less nerdy, but they've kind of enlisted, or the nerdier person's kind of enlisted them in their lives. So like it's the two of them against the world, because they've been kind of ridiculed most of their lives, and they're on their phones, and everyone else is on their phones, even the old people, because the old people have just, now they're addicted to their phones. So like they're waiting there, and they got long gray hair that needs to be cut, because old gray-haired ladies shouldn't be growing that shit any longer than shoulder length, right? And then there's the, you know, the pear-shaped little, you know, lesbian there that it's got a good-looking haircut, you know, that works for her face, but then she's also got like the jorts with like the belt with like the loop coming off the side, like where you put a hammer, but there's no hammer. And then the high top Converse and the concert goer shirt with like a satchel, you know, not a purse, not a man bag, it's like a satchel, because she's still trying to figure out where, you know, which side of the fence she swings on, and that's cool too, you know. And then there's the retiree up there, and she's got multiple hearing aids, and then she's got like a, you know, some tubes to help her breathe and stuff, and she's trying to sort shit out, and then she's working two windows, and it's just tough. It's just Golden One is just bad. And all the other teller, well, they're not tellers, they're like bankers, but they all wear the same shirt, right? There's plenty of those guys around to help you get like a high interest loan for like a jumbo mortgage or something, but there's only really one person behind the window screen there. So, but so be it, right? Yeah. Like, I'd try and defy all odds by not getting on my phone. Matter of fact, my little Rat Fink phone that tells me every Sunday how much time I've been spending on my phone, it's been going down the last couple weeks. It was down 13% the week before, down 9% this week. I feel a little clearer. My head feels a little clearer. This morning I was shaking off a little bit of, I don't know, you know, I'm old, and you've got nagging little things, right? Little tweaks and pops and things in your muscles, little pinched little fibers that are just, you're just like, ah, that's a new pain. That's a new stabbing, sharp pain. And then the outside of my foot, it feels like it's been, well, my right Achilles has been a little stiff, a little tight. I iced it one night, and then it comes and goes. It warms up, and then it's better once I'm out on the trail. But the outside of my foot is feeling like it's been like borderline, little nagging stress fracture-ish feeling. But I don't think it can be a stress fracture. But it's just been a blur since the beginning of September. It's just, been working on my car. So I'm going out there and I'm just trying to wrench on it as much as I can. So I've been looking up videos for like, high pressure and low pressure fuel pumps. And then, I popped the hood yesterday. I couldn't find the battery. The battery was in the trunk. What I did is I read in one of the forums, like old white geeky assholes do, that if this guy, he was saying he had issues. I was looking up, maybe it was the turbo. Maybe the turbo went out. And what are the symptoms of your Audi when the turbo goes out? And this guy said that he was having some issues, 0 to 60 in like half an hour. So he got rid of the he took the battery cables off. So he disconnected the battery, and then he disconnected the throttle body. I thought, well, I don't I could do the throttle body. Let's start with the battery. And then prior to that, on Monday I put just some injector cleaner in it, so I let it cycle through that. Then I disconnected the battery cables, and it runs. There's life in there. It's just really, it's got to be the fuel lines. So I, after exhausting other options with the plugs, the coils, injector cleaner, disconnecting battery cables, just cleaning out the engine housing. I mean, this, I popped the little, I guess it'd be like a, it's like a little filter or guard that kind of keeps the engine clean. And I popped that thing off and dug out some, just built up, accumulated kind of oily dirt and crap, cleaned that out. It's still kind of a little funky though. Like, it's so close there. So I went down to the shop, this shop that did my brakes last year, and they've got new ownership. Told them what I thought might be the issue. I dropped a little knowledge on them, so they know they're not dealing with a total novice. You know, And I'm going to drop, I'm dropping it off, well, yesterday morning. By the time this comes out, it'll be yesterday morning. Yesterday, just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you. So I woke up this morning and I wrote down this song. I just can't remember who to send it to. But, and I've seen check engine lights and I've seen shit on my dashboard light up like a pinball machine. So I'm just kind of chiseling away at that. So, Back to the Future, fast forward to the past. Tomorrow I'll be dropping the car off, get some diagnostics, see what's going on. It's got to be a fuel line. But I'm getting to enjoy it. I'm getting to enjoy, like, just getting in there and wrenching around, just learning about things. You know, there's secret pockets in the trunk and stuff. Like, when I disconnected the battery, I shut the trunk, and then I couldn't get the trunk back open. You're like, well, now what do I do? So I figured I could get the seats down, so I folded the seats down and got the emergency mafia handle, where if you get locked in the trunk by a member of the mafia, you're able to get yourself out. So problem solved there. But it's just a lot of it's common sense, just being practical. I had to do some extra leg work on this Subaru loan. So I get up this morning, I get out the door, and I knock out about 4 miles, get back, fire up the car, or put the battery cables back on the car, fire that bitch up, drive it around, still kind of acting funny. The turbo's there. The turbo's not gone. And it runs, and it's not blowing any smoke. So those are all good signs, even though the electronic power control light is on. So, but it's all coming together, and I updated some information. I got all my ducks in a row for the week, and then made my way over to Golden One. Well, I picked up my check. Then I went and grabbed a quick salad. Then I went over to Golden One and ran into that zoo, like that fucking Pirates of the Caribbean line, you know. It's just mind-numbing. And why do I wait in line? Because the amount I'm trying to get out is too much, and these people can't get out of their own way at Golden One. Like, they did something to my car, and it doesn't even work in the ATM anymore, but I don't want to use the ATM, so I go in there, and I got to wait for, like, 4 hours, you know, like I'm seeing the Maharishi or something. Like, it's just, it's an endeavor, and then I start my day. So, flush with cash, just riding through the valley, and now I'm just reacting. Everything that comes my way today will just be a matter of reacting. All right, and that's about the size of it so far. Please enjoy this brief interlude between rants. We're back, and thank you for waiting. Now, enjoy this second interlude that eventually just drifts off into nothingness and confusion. Heading out to San Francisco for the Labor Day weekend show. I got my hush puppies on. I guess I never was meant for glitter rock and roll. The late, great Jimmy Buffett, everybody. All you parrot heads out there, RIP to the great one, Jimmy Buffett. Jimmy motherfucking Buffett. Back when I was like one, and his song, of course, his big song was wasting away again in Margaritaville. Looking for my lost shaker of salt. That was just the epitome of just life on the islands, just drinking, making margaritas, wearing colorful clothing. I remember I had his greatest hits back when I was fucking 22, or somebody, my buddy Mike had it or something. So in 93, we were listening to his greatest hits. So like 20 years ago, this guy had his greatest hits out. Like, motherfuck. But I remember, it's funny. Of course, the lyrics, the song I was just singing is called Come Monday. Come Monday, it'll be all right. Come Monday, I'll be holding you tight. I spent four lonely days in a brown LA haze, and I just want you back by my side. I was listening to that song with my dad. We're driving along somewhere, and he goes to me, this is my dad for you. He goes, now when he says four lonely days and I thought he said brown ugly haze. But my dad goes, does that mean he's like smoking marijuana? I'm like, I don't think so, Dad. It's funny though. Like, my dad's so out of touch with all that stuff, you know. But I don't, you know, in his defense, I would say I don't think I've ever seen Jimmy Buffett wear specifically a Hawaiian shirt, although I think it's kind of associated with him. But it's kind of part of that whole demeanor, right? You want everybody to think you're like that guy that... My dad had a lot of Hawaiian shirts. It's like, it doesn't make you any wackier. It's really not a wacky thing. You're not, it doesn't give you automatically more character. I think guys, particularly older white guys with New Balance shoes, thinks like once they don that Hawaiian shirt, they're just like the life of the party, man. Like, they just kicked it up a notch, you know? Like, you don't even know what this guy's going to do. He's wild, right? But I thought that was funny. It was very telling. My dad had far too many Hawaiian shirts in an effort to be risque, avant-garde, wild, the wow man. But, oh well. But I also, what was clear, I think it's funny that the second line of that song, heading out to San Francisco for the Labor Day weekend. Like, he almost made it to Labor Day. He almost made it to Labor Day. Old James Buffett almost made it. But he was, of course, he was like he was a very smart guy. I think he did the whole parrot head thing kind of to throw people off his scent, right? Everybody thought, you know, since he wrote a song like Margaritaville, the guy's got to be notorious drunk, you know? He knew all the... But he knew all the characters, right? I mean, he knew Bill Murray and Hunter S. Thompson and all those kind of ruffians and, you know, troublemakers. But he never really was a drinker, from what I understand. I think he played to that crowd... That spring break, you know, Galveston, South Padre Island, Jacksonville, Florida crowd, you know. They're all wearing Hawaiian shirts or something. I don't know. Who gives a fuck, right? But he almost made it to Labor Day weekend. But cracks me up. My dad thinking like, he's talking about weed, like there's some kind of, like there's underlying messages about weed in the song. Is that what you think that's what he's really talking about? No, Dad. Like, My dad, I think I've mentioned this before, is like, he goes, yeah, I tried weed at a party one time. Made me want to fight somebody. I'm like, I don't think that was weed, Dad. I hate to say it. I think somebody slipped you some oregano or something. I don't know. What you gonna do, right? Like, who wants to do the good drugs? Speaking of the good drugs, like, I was chatting with my lady the other night. Like Sunday, we were cracking up about some shit. Oh, she was watching, like, some... She was watching, some documentary on meth. Like, she's really into meth. I don't know. It's interesting. It's tragic. It's rough. I don't know. This isn't like pro vaccine or anything, but most people will take meth before they take the vaccine. It's kind of odd. But so we were just kind of kicking it. we were talking about, I don't know, somehow we got on like talking about meth and families and like those communities, like in the Central Valley, like Chowchilla, Merced, Fresno, Modesto, Stockton, you know, those hotbeds for like nobody. So nobody knows who or what's like how to get out of those loops, right? In those towns, like when they get stuck in those rut, you know, where they're like, you want meth to get you out of the meth funk that you put yourself in, to get you back to zero or whatever. So it's just like the self-perpetuating problem. But as she was watching the documentary, I just decided, I've been reading this Steve Martin biography, right? Or autobiography, whatever it is. He's in that movie All of Me, right? All of Me. So it made me think of like the Willie Nelson version. All of Me. As I'm listening to this meth documentary. Why not take all of me? And it seemed fitting, right? The meth, the Willie Nelson version of All of Me. Why not take all of me and all my shit and my house and my dignity and everything else? You see, I'm no good without it. You took a part that once was my heart and my teeth. So why not take all of me? Bidoo, 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 bidoo. But I was going to do like a cover of that. Or, you know, I was going to make like another album, right? Like maybe release a double album, like the one about how I replace all those songs with like the songs with the word love in them and just change the word love to Doug, you know? What was the ones I was coming up with? Like, I'm all out of Doug. I'm so lost without Doug. Or whatever. And then, but I was going to combine it with snorting to the oldies, right? Like taking meth. Like all of me. Why not take all of me? And I was just cracking up with my lady. Can't you see? I'm no good without it. Take my shit, I'll never need it. Take my house and my dignity to ho. Da-da-dam. Bip-bip-bidoo-bidoo. So, it's hard to combine good meth songs with old good rockers and, you know, the likes of, like, Willie Nelson and Jimmy Buffett and Hawaiian shirts and shit like that. It's hard. It's hard. But, nevertheless, I think it can be done. There's definitely a narrative going on, a thread, you know, to piece together. But That's my lady for you. Just watching Meth Docs. And listening to old strange music. She really likes Roy Orbison for some reason. Like back in the, was it 89? She plays that song a lot. What's the one? Anything you want, you got it. Anything you need, you got it. I think that song's about meth too. But I remember, and I like Roy Orbison. Roy Orbison is a trip though, man. You know, he's like, he's really kind of a dark, I think he's like a real dark story. I think he lost his kid, lost his wife, lost a lot of people in his life. He's always wearing those dark glasses. He's kind of, it's like a real, he's like a David Lynch movie. He's kind of on the, there's like a darkness there, like you just can't put your finger on, right? But I did really like him. I don't know what made me think of this the other night, but it popped in my head. He was really good, or when he was with the Traveling Wilburys. Yeah, the fucking Traveling Wilburys. Like another 80s band, like the super group. Like Strange, they made one album. I think they made like one album. Because I remember my coach had it, and then I ended up getting it, but it was Roy Orbison, Bob Dylan, Tom Petty, George Harrison, and Jeff Lynne, like the weirdest ensemble you could imagine, right? And I think they all went by like monikers, like they were like, according to the album, or according to the band, they were all related. So it was like Bob Wilbury and Ted Wilbury and Jasper Wilbury. They all went by pseudonyms, right? But what a wild group. Tom Petty, Bob Dylan, who are, they sound kind of the same if you listen to them real fast. You know? How does it feel? So in essence, did you like that kind of fade into nothingness, obscurity, into like the void? It just kind of tailed off into nothing. Like, it's because I was getting a phone call. I was getting a phone call from my dealer. He's got some motherfucking drugs. Just kidding. No, I'm always just recording, and then I just get these motherfucking phone calls that I just stare at, so it's dead air. But thanks for holding. But basically, it works out like this. My day breaks down into like three parts. It's like the first third, the middle third, the final third. The first third is me getting up, getting out the door, deciding if I can make it, you know, on a two-hour hike without having to like take a shit. Because if I have to, like, it throws me off because it just sets everything out of whack. Because my ass hurts, my roid hurts, I gotta wait from the roid to go down. I know you wanted to hear all that, but then I'm out the door, and then I'm taking care of, like, loose ends in the yard with the car, with my... whatever's going on it with, if I got it at the shop, I've got to contact those guys. If I got to talk to the guy that I just bought my Subaru from and pick his brain about things. And then I get back to prep for the day, for the middle portion being my job, my work. So I knocked that out. So the middle third is kind of like, it's really kind of a relaxation point, and it just gets me a chance to make my rounds, talk to the girls at the centers, catch up on the dirt, the gossip, see what's happening, what to expect. All these freaking freeloaders that come in who want to donate their blood, but they're going to do it for a $10 Amazon card. Like, they had a big promotion for Labor Day. If you come in and donate blood, we'll give you another $10 Amazon card on top of the one I think you already get. Like what people will do for 10 bucks, like, you'd be shocked, right? Like, you know, would you breastfeed an old man for $10? Yeah, probably. So, and then when that wraps up, it's just kind of a matter of, you know, as I'm forging ahead through the middle third, I'm also catching up on the kids, checking to see how they're doing, how school's going, how work's going, blah, blah, blah. Check in, you know, I bullshit with the security guy, Kyler. My buddy Michael called me, whatever. All the stuff you do kind of in the throes of your day, right? And then finally, the final third is when I get home, when I drop everything off at the processing place out at Mather. And then at that point, I put my earphones on. I get my weed pen out, and then I put on my Spotify playlist, which I can send to you if you want. You should hear it. It's pretty good. You should check out my playlist. Do you want me to send it to you? Don't send me your playlist. Do not send me a fucking... Do not send me anything. But, and then I drive home in bliss. I listen to, I kind of wander off, geek out to some Grateful Dead or whatever trippy, psychedelic, weird bullshit I can wrap my brain around. Get home, get a lay of the land, see what's cooking, if there's anything. If not, shit. I got this new concoction I made with Ritz crackers, peanut butter, and honey. Oh, my God. This shit I'd pay $12 for, right? It's good stuff. And then you kind of go through a brief synopsis of the day, check on how my lady's day went, and then tie up any other loose ends I might have, which typically aren't many at that point. Throw on a ball game, kick back, start rapping with the old girl, and just ease into it. Just start smoking the peace pipe and just fading into the existence, fading into the woodwork as I start to make myself, at this point, by the time I get home, it's like 8 o'clock. You know, you start decompressing. It's really good stuff, but there's always, just seems like there's always just kind of a, like a routine, like a, what's the best way to describe it? Like a checkpoint. There's many checkpoints during the day. The first third, the middle third, and the second third all have their own checkpoints within each. And it honestly, my day is a blur. Like my lady was saying, you know, she'll call me and she'll go, you know, if you ever get bored, you can stop by the thing and there to there. And I'm like, that is not an issue with me. That is never a problem. I will not be bored. There's a fucking podcast to hear, some music to download, a book to finish, some fucking podcast to edit, some banking information to take care of, some fucking financial bullshit, some DMV shit, some fucking whatever. So it's inescapable, man. It's life. It's just, but I guess the only thing that keeps myself sane through it all is that I just react to it. Just react. You know, I can't plan ahead. I just have to, as things kind of float down the river towards me, I just simply react. And that's where I'm at these days. That's what's up. And so, anyway, that's about what's up right now. I don't know what else to tell. I don't know what else to tell you people. Like, what do you want from me? Like, what do you want from me? I'm just trying to get through this, you know? I'm just trying to make sense of it all. All right. But I'm good. I guess that's all I'll leave you with at this point. Let's see. Next podcast that'll drop is the first day of football. And God help us all. All right. Talk at you later. Arrivederci, baby.